Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Mamma mia, here I go again. Mama, how can I resist you? Mamma mia, does it show again? Mama, just how much I missed you.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres are in action tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, though, they are in Pittsburgh, a 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. And with that, we go to the Wester Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing very well. How about the Yankees real quick? Look at that.
Yeah, I got to see the last half inning. That was it because I was traveling yesterday, so... but I got to the hotel to see them finish it off, which was nice. And then, of course, watch the post game, so I got the highlights. But, yeah, two games to none. But I'm never one that it's like, well, there's still a long ways to go. Let me know when they get to four.
Right, right. So you are in Pittsburgh then?
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh, I have not been to Pittsburgh in so long. Mike Shope went to Pittsburgh this weekend. I'm like, I got to get over there. It's the 3-hour drive and not really having weekends free anymore, Paul. That just leads me to be like, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And then 5 years pass and I haven't gone yet.
5 years pass. Jeez.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
5 years ago?
It's been a while since I've been to Pittsburgh. So, Paul, for tonight, though, I think the big story heading into tonight's game is J.J. Paterka even going to play. It felt like he was maybe going to play over the weekend. That didn't end up happening. It's kind of been a lot of, you know, we hope he's, you know, good enough to go. We think he's going to do well. He did well at practice, but it's been a bit of a slow roller here.
Yeah, he's been practicing hard. There's no question about that. There's been no restrictions on him there. Lindy Ruff said yesterday that he hopes to have him tomorrow. You know, we'll see how he gets through practice and morning skates, for the most part, are just optional. Now, he has been out for morning skates so far, even though they're optional. So we talked to Lindy in about a half hour, and we'll see what he says about it.
Anything on Zach Benson or pretty much the same thing? Because he sounded like it was a little more closer, but they wanted to be 100% on him before
he
gets in the lineup.
Yeah, he just, you know, Benson, he kind of feels that Benson wanted to play so badly, maybe he came back too early. He just feels, Lindy Ruff feels that he's not himself. He hasn't seen Zach Benson in the last couple of games. That's one of the reasons why when they went down to three lines, he was not part of the three lines and sat the bench for a lot of that game. I think he had one shift in the third period. So, we'll see on him, because if Paterka plays, somebody has to come out. I don't know if he wants to pull Kulik out. He's liked him so far. So Benson might be the guy, considering that Lindy just doesn't feel he's 100%.
Looking back to the Sabres' last game they played, 5-2 win over Florida. They went down early, but then had a really good finish to the first period. They were able to actually, you know, kind of finish the game, Paul, which is something we've talked about that oftentimes they can't. 5-2 win, and Devon Levi, is he sort of taking hold of that number one goalie spot? This could have been bad on me. I wasn't totally paying attention going into the night. Texas and Oklahoma were playing. That's on me, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Is he, though, sort of taking that number one goalie spot from UPL, or is it still kind of play the hot hand? We're going to see how it goes.
No. I mean, Lukin has been fine, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both played well. Levi tends to see more shots than Lukanen does. I mean, Lukanen's goals against is 2.56, and Levi's is 2.57. So, I think right now they're going to stay with the plan, especially with a back-to-back. They're going to stay with the plan of alternating. So that would, if they do that, that would put Lukanen in today's game, Levi in tomorrow's, and Lukanen against Chicago. If they keep doing that, I kind of thought that starting the year that they would roll with Lukanen since he really took the number one job last year. But right now it's more like the Bruins did last year, just mm-hmm. go back and forth between the two goaltenders. At least that's what they've done through the first four games.
So one thing that we saw on Saturday that was a little interesting was the 11-7. Do you think that could potentially be something again, or do you think that might have just been a you know, on the spot sort of decision? Because it looked like it worked.
I said this the other night. I wasn't 100% buying that they just wanted to get Gilbert in the lineup since he played less than 5 minutes. It was Sam Lafferty. Ruff wasn't happy with him. He talked about it yesterday that two offensive zone penalties was part of it. He felt he's not getting out of Sam Lafferty what he felt he could be getting out of him. So that's why. I mean, did he want to get Gilbert into the lineup, a harder player against a hard team? Yes, true. Get him his first game, but Lafferty is a hard player also. It's not like you took a guy who, you know, who plays like Olsson, who plays in the perimeter and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, Lafferty's hard to play against too when he's on his game. So that's what made me suspicious of the whole thing. And Lindy Ruff confirmed what I was thinking yesterday, that I was thinking pretty much the two offensive zone penalties, which are non-negotiable to Lindy Ruff. And he said that was part of it. But he said he's had a conversation with Lafferty, and he expects more.
Paul, another player I do want to ask you about here is Jordan Greenway. I've been really impressed just in kind of everything he's been doing. He's seemingly been willing to grind it out. He scored a goal against Florida. He's seemingly been everywhere on a team that, up until Saturday, was bereft of goals. He's kind of been one of the bright spots to start this year.
Yeah, he's been that way since he's arrived, basically, but people just haven't been noticing, maybe because the team plays poorly. But there's nobody better at getting into the zone quickly and causing turnovers. That's why Thompson likes playing with him, mm-hmm. because, you know, he constantly gets in there, wins the battles, causes turnovers, and that creates opportunity for Tuck and Thompson when he's with them. And, you know, he did that when Thompson scored that one goal in Europe. You know, Greenway was out there with the two of them, and the three of them crashed the net and, you know, got the goal. But that's what he does. I talked to him for pregame tonight, and it's like the anticipation he has is just unbelievable. You know, it's sometimes he looks like he knows what the other team's going to do before they do, and positions himself very well to be able to do that. So it's interesting with him and with that. So he's been very good. Now, you know, is he going to fight? If he has to, he will. But he's not a fighter, and that's, you know, in Buffalo, if you're not a fighter, you're not a good hockey player in so many people's minds. So that's why he gets so much flack. I mean, I was reading articles where, well, Greenway might be the odd guy out, you know, preseason articles, or he's going to be on the last line. And what? No, that's not going to happen. He's not going to be the odd man out, or he's not going to be getting 8 minutes of ice time. I mean, he's an important part of this team, and he might be one of the best penalty killers in the NHL, not just on the Sabres, in the NHL. With the anticipation, the smartness, and the reach that he has, he does an excellent job penalty killing. And, yeah, all right, he's probably not going to score 20 goals for you. But with all the other things he does, I don't think he needs to score 20 goals, because he's so good at all the rest of the things that lead to offense, lead to defending, lead to good penalty killing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone else that has kind of shined with Greenway is Ryan McLeod. I've really liked him so far. And do you think that they're just kind of feeding off of each other? Or do you think that's just McLeod's style of play and it's just, you know, playing well with Greenway? Or, like, is it a chemistry thing? Is it a just both playing the same style? Like, what do you think it is?
Well, Greenway is playing with the two new guys. But you got to remember, too, Zucker played with Greenway in Minnesota. So they know each other.
That's right.
But, he gets the two new guys. What McLeod brings, we knew it when they traded for him, is the speed and a good two-way player. And he's an excellent two-way player. He brings that speed, which backs teams off. When you got that kind of speed, it backs the other teams off. He can win faceoffs. He's at 55.6 winning faceoffs. I mean, Lindy Ruff had talked about when he was hired that the Sabres needed to improve on that. And they were, if they weren't the worst team in the league, they were pretty close to the worst team in the league, and faceoffs have been for years. Thompson's at 53.5. Krebs is at 54.6. McLeod's at 55.6. And Cousins is at 52.2. They're all up there. That's something that guys who weren't good at faceoffs have worked on, obviously, because at least through four games, they've done an excellent job, and McLeod is one of those guys, along with the speed that he provides, the penalty killing that he provides. Another guy that, are you expecting 20 goals out of? No. Double figures wouldn't be unreasonable for either him or Greenway. But it's the other things that they do, you need those types of players. You just can't have everybody scoring 20 goals. You know, 12 forwards, they all score. You need a mixture of players, and that's what the Sabres are trying to do with some of the things that they've done in the offseason.
All right, Paul, no more positives here, because we do got to bring up the fact that through four games, they still have not scored on the power play, and it doesn't really look all that good at all. I mean, they're hitting the post a lot, and you've mentioned it. You don't know if there's maybe a team out there that hits the post more, but there are at times you almost want them to be a man down because the penalty kill looks more dangerous than the actual power play. What have you seen through four games? Because I'm getting to a point, too, like when they get a power play, I roll my eyes going, all right, how upset am I going to be over these next 2 minutes?
Well, they are getting better from the standpoint of they can at least get into the zone now.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
They couldn't even get it past the blue line to start the season. But they're still forcing plays. They get antsy. Next thing you know, they're trying to force passes or force shots that get blocked. And then the passes get picked off or deflected and out they go. So, you know, that's been the biggest problem I've seen lately is just they continue to try to force plays and then the other team gets it and goes. I can't say, well, they're battling hard in front of the net because I don't think they're getting that far to battle hard in front of the net. It's not that often that they get set up that they can start getting the battles going in front of the net. So that's still incomplete as far as talking about are they battling more? Are they battling harder? They are coming out with some pucks, as I said, that they have the puck, they have control, they make a few passes, but the other team pressures them, and that's what teams do. They've realized you pressure the Sabres, they'll get all discombobulated. There'll be a little bit of panic in their game, and they probably will force something for you. So that's something they have to do, too. They don't have to respect the point shot because it's rare that Dahlin and Power shoot. So they don't have to worry about the guy, quarterbacking the power play, which is key. I mean, that guy has to start shooting. The other teams have to start honoring it because that will help open up some other things for you.
So, Paul, the other big bit of news from this earlier in this week, on Monday, we had a bit of a scuffle at practice. I mean, what's your take on it, and, you know, how do you think that's going to affect things, if at all? I mean, it sounded like both.
I can't even remember the last fight I've seen in practice.
I was trying to think, too. The big hit, too, like, that looked super just odd for an NHL practice.
Well, Dahlin got annoyed because Krebs accidentally high-sticked him in front of the net. The video did not show that. And then, you know, they came back. If the problem I had is you went for the knees. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's a teammate. Yeah. If you've got a problem, drop your gloves and go. Don't go for the knees. And that you're the captain of the team, and you got a guy coming from center ice, and you're mad at him, and you go for the hip check at the knees. No, that's totally wrong. That's not right at all. If you're mad, just drop the gloves like you wound up doing and go. I mean, don't try to take his knees out from him.
All right, Paul. Pre-game coming up at 6, 7 p.m. puck drop, and you said Lindy Ruff's going to be speaking here, what, in the 11 o'clock hour?
Yeah, about 11:10, somewhere in there.
All right, sounds good. Paul, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you for pregame.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline as we do get ready for Sabres and Penguins coming up at 7 o'clock. Yeah, I think Paul's spot on too in that point of, like, don't go for the knees.
Right.
I did like the energy of, like, the fact that, like, they were that ticked off four games in to, like, fight or whatever happened. You know, ultimately it ends up being kind of like a mishap before earlier in practice. But at the time, it was like, cool. Like, I love that the energy's up. Like, I enjoyed that from the Kings game to the Panthers game, it felt like they were playing the same style. They didn't go away. They didn't change things, which is a big problem under Granato.
Yeah, and it also felt like against Florida, you matched Florida's type of play.
And like you went down early. You went down early and didn't stop going.
They were down for what, 10 minutes? Not even?
Not even.
It was something very quick afterwards. I know they scored. So I really liked how they played, and I hope they can continue that against Pittsburgh. I know they've had their own issues against Pittsburgh, but
It would be nice, though, if after this week we can all kind of maybe sit back and go, okay, Prague just was not a good run. But outside of that, they've been good, or what have you. Or, like, again, they're not going to start off incredibly hot unless they go on like a 7-game win streak here, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, they're 7-3 or what have you. But if we can all, you know, after a week or after, you know, the next 4 or 5 games go, Prague was just kind of an anomaly. You know, that ultimately didn't work for them down at training camp practices. Okay, here we go. I think you're in good shape. And I've liked a good bit of what I've seen from the Sabres. To me, really, it has been the power play and just how bad you've been on it. That was a thing that potentially sank you last year, and you still haven't scored on it. I know Jeremy put up the moral victory for tonight. For me, it's, I don't care if you go 1 for 5 on the power play. Just give me a goal on the power play to make me believe you actually can do it. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to get your thoughts in on the Sabres. Or, of course, the Bills trading for Amari Cooper. Always love to hear on that. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, Sal Capaccio will join the show. We are expected to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott later on, a little bit after 12:30. You know, Amari Cooper, is he in Buffalo yet, what have you? We'll get Sal's thoughts on that trade as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.